of God as we read it to you this morning. Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 7. Great verse of Scripture here. David said, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning, and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea." That's a long way, boy. That uttermost parts of the sea. "Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." David was saying, where am I going to go to get away from God? Where am I going to go where the Lord can't find me? Now, I'm preaching to you this morning on that subject. You can't outrun God. Can't outrun God. I was thinking about these veterans here this morning a little bit, and I was thinking about there used to be some famous cowboy sheriff, and I don't know which one it was. Maybe some of you people know. And they said about this man, they said about this guy, they said he always gets his man. You remember that? I forgot who they used to say that. John Wayne or Clint Eastwood or somebody. He used to be, he was like a leader of a posse in a group. And they'd say, he always gets his man. He had that reputation. You know, this morning, that can be said about the Lord. The Lord always gets his man. You know what? He gets on your trail, he'll track you down. Now, you ain't going to get away from God. God's qualities and our characteristics or attributes this morning are he's omnipotent, he's omniscient, and he's omnipresent. Now, that's just a fancy of saying he knows everything, he can do everything, and he's everywhere at the same time. Omni means all, omne, all present. He's everywhere at once. You ain't never been where God ain't. That's right. And ain't right, and you ain't supposed to, but you'd never know that if I hadn't told you. So I'm going to say it. You've never been nowhere where the Lord wasn't. Do you know that? I've heard people say, boy, I went down here so-and-so, God wasn't in a million miles of there. Yeah, I mean, I know what you mean. His presence wasn't raining, but God's there. God's there. The Bible said in Proverbs 15:3 or 18 or along in there, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Job 34 said, there is no darkness nor shadow of death where the works of iniquity may hide themselves. One of man's biggest problems is how can he hide from God? Well, the reason our educators today really want to believe evolution is because they know if they can believe evolution and evolution truth, then they don't have to worry about dealing with a holy God someday. Right. Trying to get away from Him. Trying to get away from God and His will for their lives. Now, there's men that found out that you can't run from God. You took a globe this morning, a globe of the world, and took a little ant and put that on the globe. He's gonna run all his legs, ever how many they got. Is every one of them just gonna start doing this? He'll run around over there to Africa and around China and Japan and all. And you got the globe in your hands. And every time you think, well, stupid thing, he looks up here and sees your big face and he says, whoa, it's King Kong or somebody. And he starts running around that globe. And you got the globe in your hand. Anytime you want to, you can just go and snuff him out, right? And he's crazy to try to get away from it. And that's the way the Lord is. The Lord's got this world in his hand. You say, well, I know what, I'm sick and tired of this preaching mama telling me this and telling me that. I'm just going to go join the Navy and I'll get away from God. No, you won't either. You ain't going to get away from God. There are three men who are outstanding in the Bible who tried to run from God. I want to look at these three men right quickly. The first is in Genesis 27. You might want to jot these down in the back pages of your Bible there somewhere. Men that tried to run from God. Three men. Genesis 27 verse 43. There's a man by the name of Jacob. Do you know that Jacob tried to run from God? He thought he could get away from him. You know that the story of Jacob here in the Bible is a very interesting story. But in Genesis 27 verse 43, we see what happened to him when he tried to run from God. Genesis chapter 27 and verse 43. Look at it there. It said, "Therefore, now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, into Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. And then will I send and will fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day?" So Jacob takes the advice of his mother here, and he says, "I'm leaving town. I'm getting away from here." You know, the story of Jacob involves a family deception. If you want a good study in human nature sometime, why people act like they act, read the story of Jacob in the book of Genesis. You know how he done there? His brother Esau was actually heir to the blessings of his daddy. And Jacob was the supplanter. He was the trickster. He went in one day. His brother's arms were real hairy and his arms were smooth. His brother's voice was kind of deep. His voice was kind of high. And he tricked his daddy. While Esau was out hunting something to go back home and take to his daddy to eat, Jacob and his mother glued some hair on his arms so his arms would feel hairy. And he kind of changed his voice and everything, because daddy's about blind, couldn't tell which was. And he went and he said, "Hey, Dad, I got your supper here." And daddy said, "Well, you sound kind of funny, man." Yeah, "Well, I've got a little cold here. I've got your supper here. The Lord blessed me and I got it." And he said, "Come here a minute. You don't sound like Esau. Let me feel your arm." He stuck there. He rubbed his arm. Sure enough, there's all that old, he must have had some hairy arms. I tell you, if you could just touch him and tell who it was. But anyway, boy, he felt him. "Yep, you feel like Esau. You don't sound like him, though. But how'd you get here so quick?" "Well, Daddy, the Lord blessed me, you know, and all of that." And he got a blessing. See, he got the blessing. Well, when his brother found out about that, he pitched the awfulest fit ever was and was going to kill him. And he run to Mama and said, "My brother's going to kill me." And Mama said, "You better leave here right now, because I don't want to be deprived of both of you in one day." Well, we done that. He run off, you know, and he got in there with his daddy-in-law, Laban, Genesis 31. And he took everything Laban had. But he was just smart. The guy was smart. He was conniving. He knew how to get what he wanted. You remember when old Laban put him in charge of them cows? And that's one of the weirdest stories. I wish somebody explained that to me. I've read commentaries. I've heard preachers talk about it. But here's what he done. He said, "Now all these cows that are ring-straked and striped or whatever they was, they'll be yours. And all these solid color ones will be mine. And I'll be doggone somehow or another." He went down there and took his knife and took some sticks and scraped the bark off of them and made stripes on that bark, and he put it in the water, and them cows could stand there and look at them stupid poles while they was drinking water, and their cows come out striping. Now, you explain that. I don't understand that one bit, except it's just the Lord blessed him. I don't know how that happened. I guess all you let your cows watch TV, there ain't no telling what their calves going to look like. They'll have to look like AC/DC or Larry King or Captain Kangaroo or no telling what. But anyway, whatever them cows see, their calves come out like that. And man, he took everything that guy had. First thing you know, he was getting rich. And his daddy-in-law had nothing. And the Lord blessed his daddy-in-law because of him. Well, Jacob finally run. He wound up running away from him, and he was running from God. He was running from God. But do you know what? Do you know what the Bible said in Genesis 20 and verse 11? That he lighted upon a certain place. In Genesis 28:11, the Lord called him. The Lord called him. He dragged up a big old rock, laid down his head on that rock for a pillow, and he went to sleep. And when he did, the Lord come to him. And he'd run from home all the way over where Laban lived, from where Laban lived, all the way back out there in the middle of nowhere. And he'd run and run and run. He said, "God don't see me, God don't see me, God don't see me." He laid down and took a nap. And the Lord says, "Hey, buddy. Look at him, buddy." Jacob said, "Oh, God, I've been away from you." And he come back to call it Bethel, and he came back to there. Let me tell you something, friend. You will not get away from the presence of an all-wise, all-seeing, all-knowing God. You say, "Well, I'll hide and Brother Danny won't see me." It don't matter if Brother Danny sees you or not. God sees you. God knows where you were last night. God knew what you did this week. God's got it all wrote down, and He will catch up with you. You say, "Well, I'm wrong. Nothing ain't happened to me." Well, He just ain't nailed you just right yet. Oh, I heard a testimony of this fellow one time, and he said he had a praying grandma, and he wanted to get away from her because she read the Bible to him and prayed all the time. He said, "I'm just sick of you. I don't want to hear this no more." He went off and joined the army. He got in the army. He was in a barrack with 78 men. Out of 78 men, two men signed up. They were Christians out of 78, and out of those 78 men, he got stuck right between both of them. And it's like the Lord said, "You ain't going nowhere, buddy. I'll get you right." The Lord always gets his man. I have no doubt in my mind there's somebody in here that you're saved. You're saved, but you're trying to run from God. You're saying, "I know God, I ought to be here, but I'm living a different lifestyle. And the only reason you're here this morning because of obligation or it's a duty or so your wife won't fuss at you or something like that. But you know deep, deep down inside you that you're running from the will of God from your life." I'm going to tell you this morning, you might as well make you a white flag and throw it up and surrender, because one of these days God's going to get you. It may be on a hospital bed somewhere. It may be underneath a wrecked car. It may be with your heart hurting. But sometime, someplace, God's going to tighten the screw down on you. You can't outrun God. I'll guarantee you that. Let me show you another man. Here in 1 Kings 19. Turning your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings chapter 19. We see another fellow who tried to outrun God. His name? Elijah. Elijah tried to run from the presence of God one time. And notice what happened to him. 1 Kings chapter 19. I think verse number 3. 1 Kings 19:3. Bible said here in verse 3 of 1 Kings chapter 19. And when he saw that, see, this old wicked woman Jezebel was after him. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. What a prayer. Listen to this prayer. And said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." Now think about that. Look how similar that story is to that first one. He run and run and run. The Lord let him run just long as he could run. Finally got tired, laid down, went to sleep, and then the Lord got him. Did you notice how the Lord, he'll let you run a long time, make you think you're getting away. Then he'll get you. He'll get you. You ever heard him used to say, when the big brother do something to the little brother, and the big brother say, "Ha ha, you can't get me. You can't beat me up. Come on." And he beats up the little brother, and then finally the little brother gets his baseball bat and looks back at the big brother, and the big brother said, "Oh yeah, I ain't scared of you. Come on. You're afraid to hit me with that thing. Boy, you know what I'll do to you." And the little brother says, "You can't stay awake forever." You ever see that on cartoons or something? What he's saying is, buddy, sooner or later, you got to go to sleep. And when you go to sleep, I'm going to whop you over the head with this thing. Now, that's what God's saying. Hey, you can run, but you can't stay awake forever. Do you know that? Amen? That's right. You can only run so far, and God will get you one day. He'll get you. He's on your trail. The Lord always gets his man. He run. Oh, Elijah, run. It's an interesting story here. He killed 400 false prophets, and one old sleazy woman put him to flight. That's right. That's right, buddy. That man killed 400 false prophets, and when that old woman fussed at him, there he went. Just like that. There's a lot of brave men like that. That's what happens to a lot of preachers. They'll stand, bless God, and preach hell hot and heaven sweet, and run and tell the deacons, "You're not going to tell me." But you let one woman rise up against them in the church, and they're scared. I tell you what, boy, you know why? Because that woman says, "I'm going to get you, buddy. I'm going to destroy you. I'll run mouth about you so much nobody has no confidence in you. I'll see you have your head by tomorrow." And boy, he said, "Whoa!" He took off flying, run down, finally running to sleep under a juniper tree. And Elijah prays this prayer. "I've had it, Lord. It's better for me to die than my life." Now, if you'd be honest with me this morning, hadn't some of you prayed that same prayer? Hadn't there been a time in your life where you say, "God, just kill me"? Ain't you glad God don't answer stupid prayers like that? Really? I mean, what if you, if it was the Lord, sometime if he'd just let me be God for a day, all these people running down here saying, "I dare you to strike, buddy. I'd zap them, wouldn't you?" He's a lot more merciful than I am. He's a lot better than I am. People go out and say, oh, if there's a God, let him strike me by lightning. Son, I go, bah, I'd hit him with a bolt. About 2 million volts. About it. Cut out a big hole all the way around him. But God don't do that. God's merciful. God's merciful. He's good to us. Lord, just kill me. Boy, if the Lord started killing off us, son, that would people straighten up. But did you know what? He finally said, I can't handle it no more. God, just let me die. He finally went off to sleep, and the angel of the Lord touched him and said, wake up, boy. Just like he caught Jacob there asleep on the rock, he caught Elijah under the juniper tree asleep. Somebody said to a heathen unbeliever one time, said to a Jewish rabbi, he'd read the Old Testament, and the Jewish rabbi was explaining all those stories in the Old Testament to him, you know, and everything. And he said, our God, the serpent, we worship the serpent God. He said, our God's greater than your God. And the Jewish rabbi said, how do you get that? And he said, because you read me the story there in your Bible. He said, when Moses was standing in front of your God at the burning bush, he just stood there and talked to him. But when he saw our God, the serpent, he fled. Our God's more powerful than your God. And the Jewish rabbi looked at him and he said, that's because our God fills heaven and earth. And he said, a few steps would deliver Moses from the serpent. But he couldn't get away from our God. Because a few steps that won't deliver you from somebody who fills heaven and earth. You can't get away from him. No matter where you go, God's already there and get there. He's there waiting on you. Where you been, man? What took you so long? See? You can run and run and run and run and run and run and move somewhere and you say, I'm going to Florida, I'm going to California where I won't have to worry about this no more. The only problem is, when you go to California, you take your conscience with you. And the Lord says, I'm here. And you can go around this world and commit a sin and it's still going to bother you. If I could just get out of McNeil County, I'd do what I live like I want to, and I'd be free. Yep, you ain't going to get away from God. You ain't going to get away from God. Number three, Jonah chapter 1. Let me show you another man right quickly who tried to run from God. Jonah chapter number 1. All of us know the story of Jonah. All of us know the story of how God called him to preach to a bunch of people that he didn't want to preach to, and how Jonah tried to run from God and it didn't work. And the Bible tells you there in those first few chapters of the book of Jonah, or that first chapter especially, how that he run from the presence of God and God caught up with him there in the fish's belly. Amen? Look at it. Jonah chapter number 1. Now the Bible said there in Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. See? To try to run from God. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. See? Now look. And the Bible said there in verse number 5, then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wires that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship and he lay and was fast asleep. What about that? Isn't that something? What a story. Here's Jonah. Come on. I'm saved, sanctified, dedicated. I'll do anything. I'll go anywhere the Lord calls me. Yes, sir. But whatever it takes, I'll serve you, Lord. I'm willing to do whatever you want. The Lord says, go back to Nineveh and preach them heathen. I'm not going to do it. What was that singing there a minute ago? You'll go anywhere. What do you do? Just sing them songs? Don't you mean it when you sing them songs, Jonah? You just stand there and sing them because everybody else does, you mean it. Well, I mean it, but anywhere but there. The Lord said, go! And he said, I'm leaving! Bye! Took off running, thought he'd get away from God, and you know what the Bible said? He went down to Joppa, see? So he went down like this. And then he went down to the ship. Then he paid the fare thereof. Every time you leave the presence of God, there ain't but one way to go. Down. You don't leave God and go up. You leave God and go down. People say, well, I'm tired of the Lord in my life. I'm going to seek another lifestyle. I'll tell you which way you're going. You're going down.
and he went down into the ship, and he went down to the sides of the ship, and then he lay down and was fast asleep. The third guy I showed you this morning, God caught him while he was asleep. He caught Jacob asleep on the pillow. He caught Elijah asleep under the juniper tree. And about that time, all of a sudden, there's a big storm come up. And that boat started doing like this, and everybody started screaming. They started throwing stuff overboard. And somebody say, "We need every available man. Help! Man the lifeboats! Everybody run! Who's that guy laying down there?" Somebody went down there and kicked him and said, "Wake up, man! We're about to all drown." He jumped up saying, What? God called him. "Who are you?" "My name's Jonah." "What do you do for a living?" "I'm a preacher." "If you're a preacher, what are you doing laying down there asleep, man? What are you doing on a ship going to Tarsus? Why aren't you out preaching for it?" He said, "Well, I'm kind of running from a boss man right now." And he said, "All right. Somebody ain't right on this boat. And they caused this terrible storm to come up. And the only way they drawed straws, and he got the short straw, and they said, 'It's you.'" And the Lord says, "Hello, Jonah. Remember me?" And I'm telling you, I'm going to tell you young people, I've seen them. Ask Brother Clark here. God sung that song a while ago. Ask him, can you get away from God all them years? You've got several years. You can't get away from him. When you lay down to sleep, he's talking to you. When you get up to go to work, he's talking to you. You almost have a wreck on the road. It's God talking to you. He's there. I'm telling you, people, you can't get away from God. You can't outrun God. If there's ever been a time in your life when you was right with God, and now this morning you're running, you think you can be happy, forget it. Forget it. Forget it. If you're here this morning, you're not saved, and you think, "I don't have to fool with this. I don't have to deal with this. I just won't come back and hear you preach no more." Yeah, but see, you've done heard it now, and he's on your trail. The Lord always gets his man. God caught up with him on the storm. How do you think Jonah felt? How do you think Elijah felt when the angel touched him and said, "Get up, man. What are you running from a woman for?" How do you think Jacob felt when the Lord touched him and he wrestled there and all of that? How do you think Jonah felt when one of them grabbed his arm, one of them this leg, the other one grabbed this leg? "I can't do this with both legs." And one grabbed his ankle, one grabbed this ankle, one grabbed both arms, and they started going, "All right, boys, a one." And every time he'd go out all that water, "Hey, I would hate for somebody to throw me in a sea. I mean, we was at the prom last night, and out there at that lake, man, I got to looking, buddy, there's a lot of water out there. You look on the map, Lake James ain't nothing but a little old bitty spot. There's a lot of water in this world, man. They drop you in that thing, it's over. It's over. I don't care how good a swimmer you are." And boy, about that time, there's a big old whale. Bible said it was a whale, too, in the New Testament. Calls him the great fish in the Old Testament. He's swimming around through there. Well, that whale had a hunger pain hit him. God put that hunger pain in that whale. He got real hungry and said, "I'd like to have a mess of man. Been a long time since I had me a big old man with some hush puppies and french fries and go down to man camp. I'm starving." About that time, in comes one. Blah, 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 legs kicking. The whale goes, "Well, looky there. A live one. Fresh." Like people eat raw oysters and stuff, they eat raw people. I ain't never eat but one raw oyster in my life. I let some people up in Connecticut talk to me, and I like oysters. I mean, some people can't eat me at all. I like them fried and stewed and all that. They put them things up there. "Oh, come on, preacher, you got to try one. They're wonderful." I looked at that. I said, "Well, if you say it's good," and I put it, it's like eating an eyeball. That's what it felt like. Be good if you didn't have no teeth, man. That'd be you could make a meal of it. Just flip, slide right in. I don't know. I like it cooked. Do you know what? That whale looked up there. There's Jonah. He said, "I'll get him." Open the big mouth. Jonah going, trying to dog paddle, going after the ship. And all of a sudden, everything went black. He couldn't see nothing. He felt like he was on a big water slide, brother. Right down, hit a little pool in the bottom of that whale. And the Lord says, "Now what are we going to do, preacher?" He was on a cruise going to Tarsus. He was going to get him a little private island, get under a palm tree and put on his blue blockers and read the paper, you know. That's what Jonah was to do. That's what he was going to do. God had other plans. And let me tell you something. If you don't hear nothing else I say this morning, when you try to run from God, it never turns out like you think it's going to happen. "Well, I'll just do this and I'll do that and everything will be all right." No, it won't. Lord, he'll stop. A lot of people make plans. So I'm gonna, I don't care what God says. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that.
You're getting ready to mess up, buddy.
3 days in that thing, Jonah rededicated his life. Then a whale got sick. Backslid preacher would make a whale puke. You know that? That's a great thought, man. It is. If there's anything that's sickening in this world, you say, I've never heard nothing like this in my entire life. Well, you've been hanging around the wrong kind of people. Don't blame me. Bad company will mess you up like that. Let me tell you something, brother. If anything can make somebody sick, it's a backslid preacher. Preacher, it ain't right with God. And the whale goes, boop, out on the buddy. By the time his feet hit the beach this time, son, he was headed toward Nineveh. Seaweed wrapped around his neck. Whale vomit all over him. I mean, man, he was a sight for sore eyes. And brother, he preached. He got God done, see? Now, why did I say this? I said this. Sleep in the Bible is a type of death. The Bible said even when Christians die, we're said to sleep in Jesus. Sleep in the Bible, type of death. Notice every one of these guys, no matter how long they run, how far they went, they had to go to sleep sometime. And the Lord God. And I want to say to you this morning in closing, I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how slick you are. I don't care how healthy you are. You got to sleep sometime. That means you are going to die. And right there, God's going to be waiting on you. Every one of us. Everyone in this room this morning will be on our face. And our hearts bowed before God. Because the Lord always gets His man. You can't outrun Him. You got to lay down and die sometime. And the Lord's going to be sitting there whittling or something, waiting on Him. Where you been, man? What took you so long to get here? And you run all your life just like that ant running around that steel ball or that globe. Best thing you could do this morning is before you wind up in a fish's belly, or laying a rock for your pillar, or having to sleep out under a tree somewhere, spiritually speaking, you ought to get your life right with God. You say, well, Brother Danny, things just ain't working out for me right now. I'll tell you how to get to work out. You read in that Bible what God said for you to do, and you do it, and you watch God take care of you. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Our song is being made ready. You may be here this morning running from God. And you may need to do like Brother Clark said. I've had all this I can stand. I'm coming back to the Father's house. Heavenly Father, do what ought to be done this morning. Speak to that man who's here this morning who needed to hear this. Speak to that woman, that teenager, boy or girl, that young person. Lord, we realize that we can't outrun You. Help us to surrender. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some's already coming this morning.